rejoice in the coming of the Messiah, for we are the chosen people, the sons and daughters of Abraham and Isaac. Surely this man Jesus will deliver us from the Roman yoke of bondage.
But there is much danger.
Yes, it is true that many of our people have suffered even unto death for their belief in the one true God. But we must take strength in our faith and ask God for courage in the presence of our enemies. Did not God grant Moses the power to defeat the mighty Pharaoh and free our people? God will not abandon us. You will see. Come, let us prepare for the Passover meal, for the sun will be gone from the sky soon enough. Take comfort in the sharing of this food and this drink.
Yes.
You are still troubled. Your faces are sullen and your eyes are dark. Why must you be distressed? I say rejoice, for Passover is now upon us. I say rejoice, for Jesus, our Savior, is here among us to deliver us. If you seek safety, then you must first make your people safe. If you seek strength, then you must first be strong to protect your neighbors from harm. If you seek forgiveness, then you must first be willing to forgive those who sin against you. The Lord's forgiveness is offered to all who seek redemption with a pure heart and contrite spirit.
Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven.
You may be seated. Seven days. You shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day, you shall remove leaven from your houses, for whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh shall be cut off from Israel. When you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this observance. And when your children ask you, "What do you mean by this observance?" you shall say, "It is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord. For the Holy One passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt, when the Lord struck down the Egyptians, but spared our houses." And the people bowed down and worshipped. The Israelites went and did just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus went to Peter and John, saying, "Go, Prepare the Passover meal for us that we may eat. They asked him, where do you want us to make preparations for it? Listen, he said to them, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house he enters. Say to the owner of the house, the teacher asks you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs, already furnished. Make preparations for us there. So they went out and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. Now hear the words of institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ as recorded in the Gospel of Luke. When the hour came, he took his place at the table, the apostles with him. He said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And then he took a cup. And after giving thanks, he said, take this, divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And then he took the loaf of bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he did the same with the cup after supper. Saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes. because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. The bread we break, is it not sharing in the body of Christ? The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a sharing in the blood of Christ? Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. At this time, if the communion servers would come forward, please. And you will be invited to come forward as you are comfortable and able to participate in the sacrament. Let us pray together. Almighty God, from whom all blessings flow, and whose Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in this most sacred sacrament, has left us a memorial of his passion and love for us, grant us so to venerate the divine mysteries of the bread and the cup, that we may ever perceive within ourselves the fruit of his redemption and forgiveness, who lives and reigns with you, O Lord, and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. As we have shared this new covenant that God has given to us, let us ever be mindful of what God asks of us, his people of faith. Lord, though I may be weak in my conviction of faith in you, and I may be all too willing to ignore your teachings, I do seek your forgiveness. Grant me strength of my faith in you. Grant me the will to turn away from sin. Show me the way to redemption so that I may be forgiven. Show me the way. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, let me grant pardon. Where there is doubt, let me grant faith. Where there is despair, let me foster hope. Where there is darkness,
let me bring light.
Where there is sadness,
let me share joy.
Grant that I so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. Now it came to pass, as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples, Peter by name, said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." So Jesus said to his disciples, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table. He took off his outer robe and tied the towel around himself. And then he poured the water into the basin. And he began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not now know what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash your feet, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands, my head." And Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him, and for this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Then one of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, "What will you give me if I betray him to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that moment he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. And when it was evening, he took his place with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me." They became greatly distressed and began to say to him one after another, "Surely not I, Lord." He answered, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." Judas, who betrayed him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." He replied, "You have said so."
Thank you.
I have prayed for you, that your own faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Said to him, Lord, I am ready to go to prison and to death. Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied three times that you know me. He came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he said to them, pray that you will not come into this time of trial. Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will be done, but yours. And then an angel appeared from heaven and gave him strength. And in his anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground. And when he got up from prayer, he came to his disciples. He found them sleeping because of grief, and he said to them, Why are you sleeping? Get up. Pray that you may not come into the time of trial. While he was still speaking, suddenly a crowd came, and one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, is it with a kiss that you are betraying the Son of Man? Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple police, and the elders who had come for him, have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a bandit? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. They seized him, led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. But Peter was following at a distance. A little later, someone else, on seeing him, said, you also are one of them. Peter said, man, I'm not. And about an hour later, still another kept insisting, surely this man also was with him. He's a Galilean. Peter said, man, I don't know what you are talking about. At that moment, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Peter remembered the word of the Lord and how he had said that before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you? But he was silent and did not answer. Again, the high priest asked him, are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One? And Jesus said, I am. You will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with clouds of heaven. The high priest tore his clothes and said, why do we still need witnesses? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision? All of them condemned him as deserving death. But all this had taken place so that the scripture of the prophets may be fulfilled. Then all the disciples deserted him and fled.
Thank you. Almighty Lord, my God, please hear my prayer. I am your servant James, son of Mary and Joseph. You who see all, hear all, and know all, know that my heart is still full of sadness that my dear father has died two seasons past. My mother, whom I cherish more than my life, still grieves for her husband. Her children try to comfort her, but the joy has left her face, and her step is now slow and labored. I fear that she will never return to being that fountain of joy and happiness that she once was. And now a new sadness has settled like a storm cloud over our family. My brother, Jesus, has abandoned our family to wander across our lands to minister to anyone who listen. He has left us to keep up our father's trade and to try to make a living for ourselves and keep a home for our mother and provide food for her table. Jesus is a strong and able man who has been shown the ways of a carpenter by our father. His back is strong and he can help us fell trees, and his hands are skilled and can cut and shape wood. But he has turned his back and all of this and rebuked us, his family. My mother has told us many times that she knows in his heart that our brother Jesus is special and that he must follow his own path, a path that you, God, have set for him. From the time I was old enough to understand the words, I have been taught that one of your commandments, dear Lord, is to honor my mother, my father. From that teaching, I have always tried to obey my parents and do as they direct. But I have come to an age now that I'm a man. I am no longer a child who cannot reason or understand what is happening in my life. I try to accept my mother's words and explain my brother's behavior. But I must confess to you, O Lord, that despite my mother's assurances and her steadfast love for her son Jesus, I still have bitterness and contempt in my heart for my brother. Is he so blind that he does not see the pain and suffering that he is causing our mother? Is he so selfish and callous that he does not understand how he has left us to make up for his absence? How cruel is the son and the brother who returns the love and protection provided to him by his family with rebuke and abandonment. I am sorrowful to confess that if my brother Jesus were to appear at our door at this very moment, I would not embrace him, nor would I invite him into our home for food and drink. I would point to his followers and say to him, "There's your family now. Seek food and shelter from them, but do not come here for rest and refuge. You have chosen your way. Now you must suffer the consequences of your actions, just as we must suffer from this foolish curse that you have taken. I know that my mother would not agree with my words or my actions, but I cannot put aside and forget what he has done. Dear God, I know that my anger toward my brother Jesus is petty and shallow. I know that I should be willing to forgive my brother for his taking up his ministry. I know that I should obey my mother and put aside my resentment and bitterness that I hold in my heart for Jesus. But it's so very difficult for me to forget my feelings and cleanse my heart of the dark resentment. O Lord of my faith, I am lost at this moment in my life. I have gone down the wrong path, and I am having a difficult time finding my way. I want to do your will and keep true to myself, but it's so very difficult to fight the forces of darkness that seek to overpower me. Lord, in the ancient writings, you have promised that when we seek you with all our heart, we will find you. I seek only you. I ask that you still my troubled heart, calm my wayward mind. Father, I know that I have broken your laws and my sins have separated me from you. Now I humbly ask, can I be granted forgiveness?
Thank you. my God. Please hear my prayer. I am your servant Lazarus, brother of Martha and Mary. I have tried to be true to your teachings and to follow your commandments. I have taken up the duty of providing a home for my sisters in our village of Bethany ever since our mother and father were taken from us by the plague many years ago. I have prayed to you many times to ask that their souls be at peace. I come to you in prayer to confess that I have sinned against your word. I know that you, O Lord, have spoken through your prophets, and your teachings have been put down in the ancient writings for us to hear and to obey. And I have broken one of your greatest commandments. You have taught us to treat our brethren no differently than we would want our brethren to teach us. Whether they be family or friends or strangers, to us it makes no difference. We are all children of you, dear God. And if one of your children are lost or in danger, we who are able must come to their aid and stand with them and defend them, lest they be harmed or imperiled. Sadly, my transgression is not in what I have done. It is instead what I have chosen not to do. When I was just coming of age, my father, who was a merchant, met a man named Joseph, who was a very skilled carpenter. Through their acquaintance, my sisters and I met the other members of Joseph's family. Since I was of the same age as one of Joseph's son, Jesus, we became friends, and I traveled several times with my father where his trading journeys led him to near the village where Jesus and his family had their home. As I was able to spend time together with Jesus, I found him to be a good and honest man. I also learned that we shared many thoughts and interests, and I was much more at ease talking with him than with my sisters. And as the seasons passed, our friendship grew stronger, as did my joy of being with him to share our stories of how we were getting along with our lives. My sisters also enjoyed being with him, for after he came of age, he was able to travel to visit our home and pass a few days with us as a guest. Though I must confess that for me, his visits were more like welcoming home my brother from a long journey. Indeed, I remember that on the last trading journey that I made with my father that allowed us to visit Jesus and his family, I said to his mother Mary as we returned from gathering water that I hoped that Jesus might marry one of my sisters and take her for his wife. But Mary just smiled and said to me that Jesus would seek a different path and that he would follow wherever our Lord would lead. At the time, I didn't understand what she was telling me, but now, with all that has happened, I know that her words were true. Now, some of our people say that Jesus is a great rabbi, and some say that he is Moses that you, O Lord, have brought back to life and sent again to save the faithful. And some say that he is the Messiah, that Jesus is your son that you have sent to teach us and to redeem us. I do not need others to tell me who this man Jesus is, for I know that no rabbi can lay his hands on a man who is crippled and make him walk again. And even Moses had not the power to raise a man who is dead and give him life. Jesus is the Messiah, and I, who claim to be his friend, have sinned against him and against you, Lord God. Since the first planting, my sisters have journeyed twice to Jerusalem, and in the course of their travels, they have seen and spoken with Jesus and his followers. They have brought me news that Jesus continues to preach to large crowds of people, and his teachings and the miracles that he has performed are troublesome to the elders of the temple. On their last journey, Martha recalled seeing several temple guards standing on the edge of the crowd, listening to Jesus speak. And from what she overheard, the guards were saying to one another, she was sure that they were there to gather evidence of Jesus' sedition toward the authority of the priests of the Sanhedrin. The rumors of threats against Jesus and his followers were spoken loud enough for my sisters to hear while they were in the marketplace. Jesus is my friend. Jesus is my brother. I love him as I have loved my father and my mother and as I love my sisters. I owe this man my life. For I was dead. And through him, I am alive again. I know that he is in danger and that the forces of evil seek to silence him, perhaps even to kill him. And yet, for all this, I stand here and I do nothing to defend him, to protect him, to save him. Am I such a coward as to turn my back on this man to ensure my own safety? Can there be any greater shame than to forsake and abandon a friend whom I love and who has loved me? Oh, Lord of my faith, I am lost at this moment in my life. I have gone down the wrong path, and I'm having a difficult time finding my way. I want to do your will and keep true to myself, but it is so very difficult to fight the forces of darkness that seek to overpower me. Lord, in the ancient writings, you promised that when we seek you with all our heart, we will find you. I ask that you still my troubled heart, calm my wayward mind. Father, I know that I have broken your laws and my sins have separated me from you. Now I humbly ask, can I be forgiven?
Almighty Lord, my God, please hear my prayer. I am your servant, Miriam. I have a great fear and reservation of lifting up my prayer to you, Lord, for my sins are many and my shame weighs heavy on my heart. To say that my life has been difficult is to say that the desert sun is hot or that the taste of new wine is sweet. It is clear for all to see that I have made my way in life by following a very crooked road. My mother was a very tortured soul. From my first memories of her until her death, when I was still but a child, she was always sobbing over some ailment or affliction. The only skills that she taught me were how to beg for coins and how to steal food from the marketplace. Both of these talents, I believe, I have used more times than there are stars in the nighttime sky. And while the truth be that I had very little love and caring for my mother, It was certainly greater than any feelings that I held for my father. For you see, I learned at an early age that if I wanted to see my mother raise up in anger and bring forth a torrent of curses and threats, all I need to do was ask her to tell me about the father that I never knew. As I look back on those times and on her shouted and snarled descriptions of this man, I realize that to be as evil and heartless a being as my mother said of him, he would surely have to be the devil himself. So cold was her heart and so bitter was her being that upon her deathbed she swore that she would reach her hand from the grave and strike him down dead. With my mother's death, I was alone in the world. My mother had a brother, but he was afflicted with an illness of the mind and could not care for himself, lest he could care for me. Having nowhere to live, nothing to eat, and having inherited nothing but heartache from my mother, I made my way as best I could by living on the streets of my village. As I came of age, I traveled to Jerusalem, for it is easier to beg and to steal in a city that is crowded with more people than in a village where there are more cattle and goats than men and women. It was in the city of Jerusalem that I learned that I could barter my affections for gold coins. And it was because of my being with a wealthy merchant that the scribes and the Pharisees accused me of adultery and seized me and bound my hands. They brought me to a man who was in the temple speaking to a small group of worshipers. One of the scribes spoke to this man, saying, "Teacher, we have caught this woman in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" My protests of my innocence did not matter. The Pharisees had lied about my adultery, for I had done nothing wrong. My only sin was to share some wine and a plate of figs and bread with this man. But it was clear to me that the temple elders only sought to confuse and discredit this man with their traps disguised as innocent questions about the laws of our people. For some time, this man did not answer the scribes' questions. As I watched, he bent down, and with his finger he wrote something in the sand. He acted as a man who cannot hear. Finally, after the questioning had gone on for some time, this man stood up and placed his hand on my shoulder and said in a voice that could be heard above all, "You have accused this woman of sinning before God, and you say that she would be stoned for her transgression. Therefore, let he who is without sin cast the first stone." From those few words, something miraculous came to pass. All of those who had stood around us and were shouting that I should be punished for my adultery became silent, and they threw aside their stones and left the temple. This man then unbound my hands and said to me in a kind and gentle voice, "You see that these people do not condemn you, neither do I condemn you. Go and do not sin again." And with that, he left me. I later learned that the name of the man who stood between my accusers and my death is Jesus of Nazareth. I had heard some talk of a rabbi who preached of love and forgiveness. It was said of him that he performed great miracles and that some of the faithful believed that he was the Messiah whose coming was foretold in the ancient writings of our faith. I do not count myself as one of the devout followers of our faith. I am a Jew because my mother was a Jew, and so my faith comes to me by birth alone. I pray to you, O Lord, to seek forgiveness for not heeding the commandment of this man Jesus. I have sinned even after he saved my life. I have stolen food from the market, for I was hungry, and I have pretended to be lame and blind as I begged in the streets for coins, as I had no money and no place to sleep. O Lord of my faith, I am lost at this moment in my life. I have gone down the wrong path, and I am having a difficult time finding my way. I want to do your will and keep true to myself, but it is so very difficult to fight the forces of darkness that seek to overpower me. Lord, in the ancient writings you promised that when we seek you with all our heart, we will find you. I seek only after you. I ask that you still my troubled heart, calm my wayward mind. Father, I know that I have broken your laws and my sins have separated me from you. Now I humbly ask, can I be granted forgiveness?
As this day comes to an end, so also does our service. The shadow cast by the cross grows longer and darker still. Then they all abandoned him and fled.